everybody, and welcome to Memento, a podcast by Washington Avenue Christian Church. See, here at Washington Avenue, we understand that sometimes we forget who we are, sometimes we forget what we're supposed to do, and sometimes we even forget what we talked about on Sunday. So, in an effort to remind you of who you are, and ourselves as well, of what we're supposed to do, and remind us of what we talked about on Sunday, we bring you Memento. And look who we have. Producer Isaac has slunk from behind the camera to in front of the camera.
That's what I do.
He slinks a lot everywhere. He's a slinky.
Slinky.
And Jake's in Arkansas for CIY this week and next week. Pray for him, because I think it's the same temperature here, but like 107% humidity too.
It's crazy.
So pray for them.
Not fun.
And also that, you know, God would move and
That's important.
Reveal himself and all that kind of stuff.
More important.
Jim is also on sabbatical, and so you're stuck with us. Cool. But here's what's going to happen today, is because I got to preach on Sunday, I am going to hand over the questioning portion to producer Isaac, and I will do the answering portion. So, without any more jibber-jabber on my part, go for it, producer Isaac. Say whatever you want.
Now I will be in control of this.
I am the captain now.
I am the captain now, which is not the most comfortable spot for me, but we're here. I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to you about these things. Also, because you don't always preach, and I think it's good for people to get. You're a really good interviewer, but to be an interviewee and to give that perspective too.
Yeah, cool.
Will
I'm
be really cool.
Too.
Yeah, you know a lot of stuff. I look up to you for a lot of things, so it's. I'm honored to be in this position.
Well,
to,
gosh, thanks.
To, yeah,
for that.
To ask you some things.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you've planned a series?
No. It's the first time I've planned a series for like big church, because I'm the old youth pastor, so that's what we call it.
Right,
but
right.
I've planned lots of series for.
Because you're a youth pastor.
Yeah.
So you did that a lot.
Yeah.
We do a
curriculum now, and so that burden has been lifted, but now I've planned lots of series before.
Yeah.
I've also stolen lots of series.
Yeah.
This is not stolen, kind of.
Yeah. So follow-up question, what was the inspiration for this series? Where did it, because you and Lenny both kind of planned it together.
We did, yeah. So when Jim knew that he was going to be gone, he asked us to fill in the 6 to 7 weeks that he was going to be gone. And typically what happens is Jim like starts a series and he disappears in the middle of it and he comes back and wraps it up. But this is the first time that he's asked us to like do a series. And so that was an honor for us to get to do that. And so right after he had talked to us about that, you know, I'm just thinking about all kinds of different things, different sermon series. And I was listening to, I'm just kind of trying to myself work through the Gospel of Matthew on a deep level, because I haven't done that since college. And I was actually listening to my previous professor's lecture series on it that he's got on his website. And one of his introductory ones was talking about like the five discourses. And I was like, oh, there's a sermon series right there. And then I was like, it's only 5 weeks, so like, how could we stretch it? And so like I split the last discourse into two and then added this introductory one because I felt like it was really important. And then I had a couple others in my back pocket and Lenny did too. And we went and, met about it, and this is the one that we liked the most. So,
yeah, it seems like a lot just knowing like the breakdown of the weeks. Like this upcoming week, you're going through chapters 5 through 6, which is
and
like
seven.
And 7.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a big chunk of text to try to capture in one week. So,
which was like the tension whenever I was like, oh man, we could do this, and this would be really cool. But this could also be like a year long series, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that there's like a good discipline. Too, and like we're only going to do like an overview, right? Because you can and should get lost in the weeds on stuff occasionally, but for as good as that is, it's also I think good to just like get an overview of it, especially sometimes in our sermon settings, our Sunday, like from a sermon standpoint, right? Maybe my job isn't to tell you everything there is to know, but to inspire you to go dig around yourself.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was just thinking of. Like Ephesians, we spent 1 week on like 2 or 3 verses instead of like chapters. So like it's it's a very different perspective and like look. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also like Sunday, and I kind of talked to you about this, but like you still went into like the weeds or like the mm-hmm. details of things, mm-hmm. which is really cool to hear, but it was still overview-ish. Like, is that hard at all to balance or what?
Ask me again next week after we do the Sermon on the Mount. but yeah, so I've had this past week's sermon sitting in my back pocket for 12 years.
Shoot.
Or so, you know, and I've taught it as a lesson before in like a class. Not here, I don't think I've used parts of it in classes here, but I've used it as a lesson, but I've never used it as a sermon. It's just been sitting back there for 12 years.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what I was doing with this one, and I knew obviously that it was going to be a good fit here, but I maybe to a fault didn't necessarily think like, okay, how am I going to, like, it was just easy to incorporate the kingdom people aspect of the sermon because that's gotcha. Who these people are is kingdom people. So it was just, to me, it was a really, really natural bridge. I'm not sure that answered your question, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of bridges into my next question, which was, in this sermon specifically, was there anything that, I've heard you ask Jake before on the podcast, and this is kind of a question, what was cut from the sermon? And then in addition to that, is there anything you wish you had said or like maybe hadn't said?
Yeah, there's some things I wish I hadn't said at 11. you can go back. Which service did you put online, by the way?
9:30.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a little bit more refined.
Get a little loose at 11. Because you've done it 2 times already.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. gosh. I'm glad that you did that. I kind of feel like Jake a little bit in that because I've been sitting and stewing on this one for 12 years, like I pretty much knew what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, and so there wasn't necessarily anything that I cut out. Although there was, and this is like... I was intending to use my family a little bit more on the front end as an illustration, but whenever I was hit, or rather pitched the cupcake pitch of parents meeting at a family reunion, it's like, well, there's the opening story, because that's way more funny.
Yeah, and you found that out recently? One of your recent talks?
On Tuesday, right? It was like I was sitting around with some people on Tuesday, and I just randomly asked, like, hey, like, what do you... Tell me funny stories from your family. And like, so-and-so popped off. I was like, well, everything else is out the window. So I would have gone into more of my family, but that's not important or relevant to the text at all anyway. So it really doesn't matter. If I could have added anything, I think... with a little bit more time and more discipline in some other areas, I would have liked to have focused on some individuals that we know about that we don't know a lot about, you know? Because there are guys in there like Rehoboam, and Rehoboam was awful and terrible. And
Solomon's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the text says that, you know, he reigned for 17 years, I think it was, and it said that he... did what was this is not a direct quote from the text, but he was worse than everybody that came before him. And then it talked about why he led the people into idol worship and to Asherah poles and all of these things. And it's like, man, that's really, really terrible. And yet here he is too. So I feel like it leaned really heavily into, and probably rightfully so, into like the women that were listed and like the sexual scandal aspect of all of their baggage, almost to the neglect of like, well, it's not only sexual baggage that's listed in Jesus's genealogy.
Right.
There's a lot of other stuff. And I think that I like at least covered that well by saying, you know, it's all of these things, everybody's broken, but I feel like I could have probably like highlighted some other characters that people don't know about as well.
Yeah. That was kind of my question too. I really like, you said like it wasn't a direct quote just now. I really liked like the Shane version of the Bible that you give. Like, it's really cool to see you like just tell the story because you know it so well and tell different stories and you can just spew it and like it's fresh and original. I think that I think people hear that in a new way.
I appreciate that.
It's cool to experience.
At 11, my mom and grandma were sitting in like the fourth or fifth row and they just like kept like being like little schoolgirls and like giggling whenever I was like telling these stories, especially like the Tamar story, whatever reason, like whenever she like pulls out the robe cord and the yeah. stick, and I was like, gotcha, sucker, gotcha. Whatever. they were cracking yeah. up, which yeah. is distracting for me, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's good. So going kind of back to the genealogy of Jesus, and you mentioned this in the sermon too, that like it's not normal for women to be included yeah. in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So like you kind of explained or like touched on it of like why you maybe picked out the women, and they all had like kind of a similar theme, mm-hmm. I think in the scandals.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything more that was kind of left out or you didn't have time to explain yeah. like about the genealogies and like the history and like how much it meant that there were women in the genealogy, and then maybe like why you decided, maybe it's kind of the same answer to the question, mm-hmm. why you decided to pick out mm-hmm. those five women in particular.
Yeah. Well, those are all five, like those are the only five women. So it's not just that I highlighted those five, but so it's those five. I think that it's really important just from like, for whatever reason, culturally, and maybe it's because it's really prominent in our culture, like we're just an over-sexualized culture anyway, mm-hmm. and you may think that that's counter to the point, but it actually like will affirm the point here in just a minute, I think, is that like whenever there is, and coming out of, you know, I'm a purity culture kid from the 90s and 2000s, so yeah. I lived right yeah. in the middle of that, and the adverse message of that was like, if you've been compromised in this way, then like you're damaged goods,
yeah.
right? That was the message that we received growing up, and the intentions there were all good, but
yeah,
it was what it was.
Fear.
And so like to be able to like walk through and be like, no, look at all five of these women. Like they're all mentioned in Jesus' genealogy and all of them have this, like you're not disqualified.
Yeah.
Based off of that. And if you're not disqualified based off of that, then you're also not disqualified off of these other things.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, that's really
good.
That's
just from... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, and focusing on the scandals, too, I can imagine... I actually had one of my volunteers kind of question the scandal thing. They were like, well, was Ruth really, like was she in the wrong there? And I don't think, like, even, like, Mary, obviously, like...
Right.
Uh-huh. She wasn't in the wrong. But, like, right. in the time, mm-hmm. in, like, the context and, like, society...
Yeah,
like you did a good mm-hmm. job. Like, mm-hmm. really, was it the Holy Spirit? Like, what?
Yeah. Because so like the scandal doesn't necessarily, I mean, imply wrongness. It just is like, to me, the term scandal in and of itself, like, is like a societal interpretation of the events.
Yes.
Good or bad, like whether or not the intention behind was good or bad, like uh-huh. it came across as scandalous, right? Some of yeah. them were. I mean, Rahab was a prostitute. It's pretty scandalous, yeah. right? I had somebody pull me aside because I probably overstated at 11 o'clock. I said that like Tamar was fully in the right, which was probably not fully
yeah.
a correct statement.
Yeah,
like, and they challenged me on that.
But
yeah,
did maybe don't do it that way.
Anyway, but whether the intention was right, because Bathsheba too, like everybody took baths on the roof. Like it's not her fault. And yeah. like when the king asks you to come to his bedroom, yeah. like you. Basically have two options, right? Yeah. And yet she's the one attached with the scan. So
yeah I think there's just a bad like what's the word like context connotation mm-hmm. around the word scandal,
yeah.
and I think uh-huh. that can set people off from like the point, and you kind of mentioned it already, was like they have broken things in their lives, they're mm-hmm. like they're broken people, mm-hmm. but that doesn't disqualify mm-hmm. them. Like they're in the genealogy mm-hmm. of Jesus, which is
what that also does too, and this is a fresh and new thought, but it also opens up the door. So it's not just, so when I'm talking to people, I'm not just talking to the people who have, you know, slept around a bunch, but I'm also opening the door and inviting in the people who have been sexually violated, you know, who think that like, because this action was done to me,
yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
good enough to be a part of the kingdom anymore. And Jesus' genealogy says the opposite too. Like, no, these women were violated, and yeah. that did not affect their standing before God.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone
That's a brand new
that.
Thought. But yeah, wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is wild. Yeah, really cool. Because you spent a significant amount of time in your sermon going over like
yeah.
the,
yeah.
Uh-huh. those women.
Mm-hmm. And I think I wanted to go back and just say, I think this is just speculative, but I think Matthew... you know, he's the guy that put him in there, and the Holy Spirit did, yes. But mm-hmm. Matthew didn't have to do that. But Matthew was Matthew and John were the only two gospel writers who were also like disciples of Jesus.
Right.
Luke wasn't at all. He probably didn't even like meet Jesus ever.
I feel like a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. And Mark, my argument is that Mark was kind of in and out. He was a kid. And I think that there's some references to himself in his gospel, but he wasn't like, and so then it comes down to whether or not Matthew or John are going to do it. And John, we know his genealogy is so different. He's in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so Matthew is the one with an opportunity to like show Jesus' genealogy. And having been with Jesus, he got to see on the daily how much Jesus elevated women in his ministry. Mm-hmm. And like, which was so countercultural to society. Yeah. And so I maybe part of it too is just like, is telling their story, but also like, trying to follow as a disciple of Jesus in his footsteps of like elevating women.
I mean, like when I learned more and more about like the culture and like the time that the Bible was written, like for him to, for Jesus to be like that and like bring in this, usher in this new kingdom that also elevated women, like is even big, like a bigger deal, like still a big deal now, I think, but an even bigger deal back then.
Yes, for sure.
So it's cool to just see like, like this really is, we're moving in the right direction with like, all those kind of things. I'm glad that you kind of went back to, because I skipped that. I meant to mention, like when you walk through the books, like that was really cool to listen to and experience. I don't have really any questions about that, but like if you haven't watched the sermon, go back just for that, because like you walk through each gospel and like they all tell the story of Jesus, but they all have a different message and they're writing to a different audience.
And I think that's so big.
You know, it'll change the way I read it.
When you understand, you know, audience to a lesser degree, but just like knowing, okay, this is what Matthew wants, is writing Jesus to be, is this king. You know, you don't have to know that Matthew wrote it to Jews, and you know, you don't have to know all of that. It helps. And there's certainly resources out there where you can find that. Like, you don't have to just go to Bible college to do it, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, where'd you learn that?
Yeah, just Bible, school, I don't know, books.
Bible Project. Haven't walked.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably in there.
But you're not just like researching off Google and like
I have books in my office leather-bound books.
You got the schooling, which really cool. So kind of moving past into the end part of your sermon, you started with a whole bunch of teaching going into all the details, but then you brought it all back, and you were talking about Jesus the whole time, but really brought it to some tangible things, some applicable things. Your main point was the only thing that can disqualify us from the kingdom is rejecting the king, which is shown through the scandals, if you will, through those women that had those scandals, but like they weren't disqualified. You are kind of already been talking about that. But then you went on to say, every day we have the opportunity to perpetuate or to stop the good and the bad that you inherit from your family. And you made it real for you, like, with your new baby, Corbin. Is he better, by the way?
He's not. No, he's going to the doctor this afternoon. It's Tuesday. It's 2:20. He's going to the doctor at 3. He's okay. He's just seems uncomfortable, and his snot's kind of a little bit green. So that's kind of a warning sign. So he's just going to go. We're just going to go get him checked out just in case. Move.
There's a lot of doctor visits with new babies. But anyways.
Thanks,
guys. So you said that was one of your main examples of how you can further... you're inherited, your family's good and bad, and you can perpetuate that or stop it through parenting. But I know also everybody's not parents.
Yeah, it's great.
And you touched on, like you mentioned, Jesus didn't have any kids, and like look at like his church now. So kind of using his example, but are there any others, any other ways that
I think
if you don't have kids, maybe
you if you don't have kids, but you're married, your spouse, you know, how you treat your spouse is another way in which you're either perpetuating or ceasing the good and the bad, based off of what you've seen. And then I think just in, you know, in how you treat your everybody, you know, your servers at restaurants and, which is a really like general and cliche answer. I don't
know, but like people don't think about it. Like, doesn't really matter the little things and like every interaction, like even in drive-through lines, like thanks for my food, like.
But it does, and we'll talk about this more this coming week in the Sermon on the Mount, because like one of the first portions of it is there's it's called the antitheses section. It comes right after the Beatitudes, and there's six antitheses. Like Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. And the first one is anger. You have heard that it said, don't be angry, or do not murder, right? But I tell you that if you even are like angry at somebody, if you even, if you call them fool, if you, you know, then you have committed.
It's more like a heart position instead of like your actions.
Right.
I
don't want to preach next week's sermon right now, so we'll stop there. But like that's how we, you know, continue to become kingdom people is it's like the bar isn't lowered for us because of grace, is actually raised because, you know, you've heard that it was said, don't murder. Was like, okay, if murder is your ticket, or the fact that you didn't commit a murder is like the ticket that you're holding to get into heaven. Yeah. It's like, bro, hey,
yeah.
But you're a jerk. Like, so Jesus is actually raising the bar. It's like, most people don't murder. Lots of people get angry.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah, no, that's like, that kind of blows my mind a little bit. Like, it's the gospel story just like in that little thing. Like, it's not just about your actions or like what you outwardly can like touch, really, but like it really is like a heart thing.
And it's
like
attitude too, yeah.
An attitude. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not, if you don't have the relationship now with you, like, if you look at the Bible as like a set of rules and like, okay, I just don't need to do this, then like you're missing the whole point, like the whole New Testament, like what Jesus is brought about.
Yeah.
So yeah, like if it really is a heart change, then it should affect everything and like the little interactions.
And even if it's not a heart change yet, this is the fascinating part, is that in as much as our attitudes determine our actions, sometimes our actions actually shape our attitudes.
Yeah.
Right? And so even if like you're not on board with, like if you just start doing this, like it's softening your heart to fall more in love with Jesus and to be open to that too, which is...
No, that's a really good point too, because I think people will say like, well, I can't come to church because my heart's not right, or like I'm not doing good. Like, it's probably not going to be an overnight change,
right,
no matter who you are, like what you've done in the past. Like, there is a shift, but it's not an overnight. Like, it actually is. And that's what frustrates me, is like it's a lifelong change.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a process, and like you have to be okay with the process. Like, you're not going to be everything you want to be right now.
Eugene Peterson, he's got a book that's called this, but he's famous for this phrase. It's discipleship and being more like Jesus is a long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's not easy.
Day after day, like another step in the same direction for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Which sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But it's
not sound fun.
Because...
Why is it not terrible?
Well, because like as you're making progress, you're also realizing all the things that aren't where they ought to be yet. And so like, there's just more and more stuff that's constantly coming up. So like, there's never that moment of like, I've arrived. Mm-hmm. It's just constantly like growing and refining. And as soon as you get, you know, three steps down the road, you realize that this stuff's coming back. And so like, it's just this constant.
Yeah. You're like, wait, this actually was not good.
Refining.
That I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if like you were dumped on everything that was wrong with you.
Yeah, you can handle it. Break us.
Yeah. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all that to say, to answer your question, is I think like all of our interactions with everybody, and like you said, parenting is just fresh in my mind right now because that's the stage of life that I'm in, and you as well, and I think that that's a primary one, but because I spend a lot more time with Corbin and Janessa and Samantha than I do with you know, Terry and the Chick-fil-A line.
Society.
But, society as a whole. I don't like society. But that doesn't mean that I oughtn't take the opportunities that I have with Terry at the Chick-fil-A line. You know.
Yeah, you said something else, too, that is related to this. But, like, you're not responsible for what you've inherited, but you are responsible for what you do with it.
Yes.
I
think I only said that at 11.
Yeah,
But well, yeah, thanks for bringing that back, because I was like, oh, that was good. I said that.
Yeah,
I was like,
No, that's really good. I think people need to hear that. And like, like for my generation especially, it seems like everybody feels the weight of the things they've inherited. And now, like, how do we handle it going forward? And I think it might just be not just my generation, but just like this time growing up from like when you graduate to becoming an adult. Like, do you have anything that's helped you, or anything, like how do you handle it in a healthy way so that you perpetuate the good and stop the bad instead of vice versa? Or
These are good questions.
That's kind of a on the fly question.
Yeah, no, those are good. I think that part of it is that you don't even really know yourself until you're in your late 20s.
Yeah, what?
And so...
takes that long.
Yeah. To understand that, like... And not that's not to say that... It's not an excuse not to do the work, first
for
of all.
Sure, yeah.
And it's not an excuse to just say, well, like, you ought to be getting to know yourself.
Yeah.
And as you're getting to know yourself, you want to, like... if you want to be evaluating, I think, the... your response to the burdens of your past, right? And doing that in an honest way is like, okay, this is how I'm responding to this. Is this the best way? Mm. Because if it's not the best way, then I'm just like taking this, molding it into my own image and then perpetuating it, right? And it may not look exactly like that which I received, but it is the root. This is a branch of this root, right? And so we got to cut this root off, right? And so it's evaluating over a long period of time, something that I'm still doing, that you're still doing. I think that we spend most of our lives doing is like, how are we responding to the burdens that have been laid on us?
It's like self-evaluating.
Yes.
Always.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many times, and you said your generation, I think it's just like the angst of youth, right? It's, you know, every generation has, you know, had this with the hippies and the 70s, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what we always want to paint ourselves in the best light, right? To the victor goes the spoils. So if I get to write my own story, I'm not going to write myself as the villain. I'm going to write myself as the victim and the victor.
Yeah.
And so how am I going to make myself look the best possible? So we all that to say, we don't take ownership of our response to how we've been wounded.
Mm.
The more and better that we do that, the less we'll perpetuate it and be changing it in the future, and then find other ways to screw our kids up. and other people.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that's really good. We're running out of time.
Yeah.
But I would encourage, if you're listening to this, like, go back, because like that root thing, like, listen to that again. Like, you went past it really fast, but like, you're reacting to things that are happening now, but like really aren't in response to that. It's actually in response to like something that's happened back here. And you've just like been conditioned either by yourself or by other people to react in a certain way. And if you don't correct like that lie, essentially, then you won't ever act in a healthy way to perpetuate the good. And you actually will. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we've talked about this several times, but this is why I think the Enneagram is such a valuable tool, is because like, it's not the celebratory, like, I'm a INTJ, I'm just an introvert, and that's just how I am. But the Enneagram's entire purpose is like finding out how you respond to that pain, deconstructing it, and then growing forward from it. So it's like your starting point on discipleship. It's where like you draw the line of like, okay, this is how I respond. Like, this is my version of the branch. Now, how do I catch myself in that, cut that off, and then go back here to evaluate what it is in a healthy way.
Yeah, it's really dangerous to, like, if you ever think that, like, I'm the center of my life, or, like, I'm the, like, once you start to think that you've got it figured out, or, like, you're acting in an appropriate way, or, like, you know everything, essentially, like, that that could be a sign where, like, maybe you need to check.
Maybe you don't.
Something,
Especially if you're in your
20s. Yeah.
No, you know?
We need to hear that for sure.
50s and 60s-year-olds, you know, if they're healthy and they probably are, and they've probably done a lot of the work. But if you're 20, you probably haven't.
Yeah,
and
you
probably
don't
even know what you don't know yet, and you don't know what your baggage is and how you're responding to it.
Yeah.
So,
bring the energy, keep it, but also be humble. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
You've barely been alive.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Being married, I think, helps. I think you would attest to that.
Yes.
Like, being married helps
exposed
that a lot. And then even having kids, too. Like, not saying that everybody should have kids, but, like, there's a whole other side of you that it gets exposed, like, when you have kids.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just like...
Yeah, whether you like it or not.
Like,
you know? Yep.
And so that just takes time. You know, that's the thing. It's that long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah.
It just takes time. Can I ask you a question?
I guess.
Are you trying to steal my job, bro? Like, this was a great interview.
No, I like being back
dude,
there.
Dude, that was so good. Not just because, like, I was the one being interviewed, but, like, these were really great questions, and this was a really good conversation. So
I listen to podcasts every now and then. So
yeah, yeah.
It's just been, like, osmosis.
There you go.
Interview now, I guess.
Let's do it next week again, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, producer Isaac, everybody. He was great. thank you guys so much for tuning in and joining in on this conversation with us. I get to preach again this week, so we'll do it again next week, same time, same place. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure that you like and subscribe, rate and review. Most importantly, share it with your friends so that more people get to hear about what's going on here.
It's good stuff. You know some things, so
sometimes.
Tell your friends.
Sometimes I do. Believe it or not. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.